on Netflix.
I never watched it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. I've been watching Dead to Me. You've seen Dead to Me.
It's commercial.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't mind it.
That was the producer, Courtney, who's now right. left us alone.
I was in your neighbourhood the other day. I did the Brighton Yacht Club.
Don't tell people
Saturday where night. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Because, you know, people won't stalk me.
I just hang out for you.
The Brighton Yacht Club. You've done it a few times before. Now, we should say the Brighton Yacht Club, for those who from...
It's a very posh area on the bay.
On the bay.
It's and like the Double Bay of Sydney, is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And in Perth, remember we did a yacht club in Perth? Yeah, and that was very similar.
Yeah, very similar.
That yacht club.
Yeah, a lot of boat shoes. A lot of
jumpers over the shoulders.
Yeah, a lot of, jumpers over the shoulders.
Silver grey hair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A lot of jewellery, a few pearls. Anyway, I met the Commodore. The Commodore was there.
The Commodore.
Because normally I say...
That's like the president, isn't it? The Commodore.
I do this joke every time I go there. I go, hey, I'm glad you reserved a parking spot for me because I drive an old Holden that said past Commodore, so I parked there. So smashes it. So the Commodore gets up and gives everyone a wave. And I go, well, where's the Camira? Who's the Camira? You know, who wears the Corolla?
Oh, that's cool.
The classics. Anyway, that's he comes cool. and chat to us in the break. And he's a lovely guy. And I'm just like, so where's your boat? He goes, oh, I don't own a boat.
Yeah, what?
What? I go, what boat? You don't own a boat? He goes, I race OP boats. I go, what are OP boats? He goes, other people's. Hey, a bit of a boating joke for you there, Glenn. Yeah, how's that? The Commodore didn't own a boat.
I turned up there one Thursday night and you just had to turn up and I think have a meal and then you'd go out as a crew on someone else's yacht just for the night.
That would have been great.
Well, it was good, but you got out there and went, what do we do now?
Oh, you just sail around.
Well, I sail around. You go, you know, I've sort of seen it now. And I didn't know what I was doing. I pulled a couple of bits of rope and, you know, well, I'm a sensitive type with soft hands. And I don't want to hurt myself. So
you didn't like it?
It was all right. It's okay.
I've never done it. I've done sailing little boats in Scouts.
So this is Port Phillip Bay, which is,
yeah,
there's not much. There's not much land mass. Sort of, it's a big circular piece of water.
And where it's not like you're going to Whitsundays, where it's Sundays spectacular.
Or Sydney Harbour Bridge or Sydney Harbour. Yeah. But look, it's fine. But then you see that there's usually races out there and stuff. And you maybe participate in a bit of a race and then come back and hoity-toity, howdy-doody.
I could see you doing that. I could see you. Living on a boat. You've got that. You love the ocean so much. It's a wonder you don't live on a boat.
I did the Whitsundays thing. I was steering. Ooh. I was steering the yacht when a whale popped up next to me. It was fantastic. And you're sort of going, hang on. If he wanted to, he could just flick his tail and we'd be gone for.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
But it was fantastic. If you ever get the chance to go to do that on the Whitsundays, I did it. I did it for a gig.
Oh.
I did the gig and then they gave me 3 days on a yacht with it. So we had a captain, we had a chef, we had a first
fantastic.
Mate.
Fantastic.
So we're up there with the family and Romy, you know, she had someone to take her fishing and we got dropped off at Whitehaven Beach and then, you know, it was great. And then
what gig is this?
got robbed.
Pirates Cave.
It was probably the worst gig I've ever done in my life.
Oh, it was a bad gig.
It was, you know, those submarines that you can ride around in that go across the coral.
Yeah.
The gig was in one of those.
It was in a submarine?
In a submarine.
Oh, that's not cool.
That wasn't a real submarine.
No.
And it was tight, it was hot, it was humid, and they had portholes to look at the reef.
Oh, is this where they did dinner outside the porthole? You told me?
Yeah. Then they had this.
Scuba divers pretend to eat dinner.
Yes, they had a performance piece with two people sitting down to a table underneath the water. You go. And they pretended they had they had suits on and stuff, but they were still.
I think you had to do stand up in the submarine.
Yeah, it didn't look. You know, it didn't go well.
No,
it wasn't good. And then we had to go and do the raffle up on the beach. That wasn't too bad.
The raffle on the beach.
You know, you would have done it well. You know how to work those. You know how to work a submarine.
I love submarine gigs. Love them.
Have you ever done anything for the Navy or anything?
Done a Navy gig. It was terrible. Yeah, it was terrible in a tent. And they just the first comic, and it was in a tent. Behind the opera house, there's a little bit of a forecourt.
Yep.
And they've got like a big marquee where they just obviously have functions. And their boat was parked around the corner, the Navy boat.
Yep. Yep.
And they were just blind. And the first comic went on and he got nothing because there was so many of them yelling and talking and stuff. And he did, anyway. And by the time I got on, it was so late that a lot of the yahoos had gone outside and were smoking. So it wasn't as bad for me, but it still wasn't great. Yeah. You don't walk away from those gigs going, oh. Yeah. I've done army gigs before. I've done army barracks and stuff, and they've been fine. I did this one in Holbrook, is it, in the Western Sydney? And I get there, and because my dad, I said to the guy before it starts hanging shit on me because of my haircut, the captain. I told you this story before. No. Stop me. It's like being back in year 10. Oh, I love your haircut. You know, like, how old are you, mate? Anyway, and then he goes, I said, so all these guys, they're all SAS, right, with their wives. And he goes, yeah, they're all high-level, you know, army guys. And I said, well, that's good. Well, my dad was in the Air Force for 30 years.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, don't mention that. He goes, they're just civilians in uniform, mate. You know, like, I know.
Bit of toot.
I know. And so anyway, I get up there. Anyway, the soldiers didn't like this guy, by the way. They didn't like him. And he introduces me, and I go, hey, everyone, my dad served in the military 30 years as a warrant officer. And they all start clapping like that and cheering. And I go, in the Air Force. And I give them the finger like that. And they took with good. They weren't like their superior. They were just laughing and stuff.
I'm like a Navy gig anecdote. Is the music coming up?
Oh, here it comes.
Hello and welcome to
Somehow
Related and Now Please. Welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
All right, well, welcome to the podcast. Here we are again.
Welcome to the podcast.
Here we are again.
Yeah, because last week, where there was an incident in here in the studio, the producer came in and kicked the cord out of the wall.
Lost our taping. That's all right. Things happen.
That's all right.
It's happened
stuff
before
happens
to us, actually.
Yeah, if you kick something out of the wall and you burn the house down, fair enough, that's not good.
Bad.
But if you just lose the recording. So hopefully this one is taking. Hopefully you can hear us.
Yeah.
We're coming through loud and clear.
And should we get our topics? Because I think hopefully people know we got two topics and they're not related. And then we've got to work out how they are related.
Yeah.
So what are the topics today?
Rats and tuberculosis.
Oh.
Rats.
Rats. I mean, I don't, oh, you know, we.
You're not meant to like rats. Rats.
Now, my 10-year-old loves rats. He wants to get a pet rat.
I used to have mice when I was a kid.
Oh, you had mice?
Yeah.
In a cage?
And they tell you what, they breed like mice.
Rabbits.
No, it was like an old chest that we had, and we put sawdust in it, and then you put a whole lot of, you know, rocks and stuff in there, and it was just like this little city.
Oh,
so I'd go out
cute.
And play with it, you know, every night.
Little Glennie and his mice.
Yeah, but, you know, after about 10 days or so, I start to stink because you get the urine and the sawdust and then you get the shit and you know. But you can do amazing things with toilet rolls, with you join them together.
How long did you have mice for?
I've still got them. Oh, that would have
They're
been
really old.
That would have been in my
year
mate.
10?
Yeah. He doesn't 11. Get out much. It was around about the same time that my brother had it, because we had the back room and he had his CB radio and I had mice. Anyway.
Didn't you love the CB radio? We had a CB radio in our back room too.
Yeah.
And my brother Mark used to get on and stir up the truckies and he'd call himself Globe. Hey, it's Globe here.
Because you had to have a name, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. And he'd talk to the truckies and irritate them and ask them stupid questions. Like, why do you guys say CQ? It's just Globe. I just want to know. And he'd go, he says CQ because of the, and then they go, listen, we're trying to have a conversation here.
Because was he going, breaker.
Yeah, breaker, which you had to say to break into the conversation, didn't you?
How's you and your 44? That was your girlfriend, I think.
Oh,
boys in blue. Boys in blue. And it was always like
smoky.
They were working under the law sort of
Let's
thing.
Let's have an eyeball.
Have an eyeball.
Yeah.
You and your 88, that's right. That was it, your girlfriend, your 88.
I remember being in a panel van with a panel van or something like that, and a guy had a CB, and he's going to have an eyeball with a guy at the Coles car park, and the guy turned up on a bike with a CB radio attached to the bike.
Disappointing.
Your mice.
I bred mice.
Mice. Yeah, my son wants to get rats, but I remember in the 80s, you would go out and you'd see a punk and he'd have a pet rat with dyed hair.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they'd have a little bit pet rat on them.
Do they still test things on rats and mice?
I mean, they would. They would somewhere around the world, definitely.
Poor old mice. They're getting all sorts of
shampoo in their eyes.
Imagine them getting together. What did you do today? Oh, I had to eat this pet food. It was shit ass.
I got shampooed in my eyes. A bit of a hair perm.
Well, I've had a heart transplant. What? Yeah, a heart transplant. They put electrodes on my heart.
Yeah. Oh, I'm cancer treatment. They got me for prostate. I'm sure they do. They get a bat. And rats, though, don't they always say you're only in the Western world, you're less than 10 feet away from a rat at any given time?
Well, they run along our fence. And was that a mouse or was that a rat? And then
you like to think it's a possum, don't you? But it's
like
a rat.
But it's a rat. But then again, they get a bat because they carry disease quite easily, don't they? They carry more disease than your average. What are they? What is a rat?
It's a rodent.
So what are the other rodents? You got
mice.
Possums aren't rodents, are
they? No, they're marsupial. They're a native creature. They're protected species.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Pete the possum man comes over.
He came over to my house.
Oh, yeah. Did you do that one? Come on, fella, back in your little cage. Did you know that used to happen? This was a phenomenon in the 90s where suddenly all people would get a possum plague in their neighbourhood, and then they get little pamphlets in their letterbox saying, you know, Philip the possum man. And he'd come over and someone heard him saying to the possum, come on, little mate, back in your cage.
it was all...
I don't know. I reckon that's an urban myth.
I do too.
We had to get the possum, man.
I reckon every house has about at least 4 or 5 possums.
Oh, man, this guy got up on the roof and all he did, because you can't catch them and take them away.
No, you can't take them out of their precinct.
Yeah. So all he did was put a little flap on the chimney, and so the possum came out, and then the flap shut, and he couldn't get back in.
Well, that's what they do with the possum man. Does he puts a flap on, and then he puts an apple outside of it, and then he knows. He goes, well, that's really so. If the apple's been eaten, he knows he's out.
Yeah,
and then when he gives it a few days of that, and then he goes back and he locks up the hole. Yeah. Then you're done. That costs you $500 or something. Because we have a closed balcony at our place, which it's quite high because we aren't allowed to look at our neighbours on the balcony. So it's around about 6 foot high, or well, maybe a bit under. And so the possums come along, walk along the top, and then they drop into the balcony.
Oh, that's right.
And they can't get out. And we went away for about 10 days. We came back and there was about 8 of them in there. It looked like a prison yard because it gets so hot up there.
And you chucked them out, didn't you?
I didn't. Well, because you're up top, I just threw them over onto the lawn, which was one level down. They were fine.
How'd you pick them up? You have gloves on, or
well, if they're bushy tail, stay back. They're really dangerous. But for the ring tail, it's not so bad. But the bushy tail, very aggressive.
And my brother had one stuck in his flute. The oven flute.
Oh yeah,
like the oven thing. And he got two oven mittens because it was screaming and stuff.
Yeah,
and just put his hands up and pulled it out.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
The guy next door to you, door to me, so not next door to you.
Could be.
Paul, he's a retired guy. He had a marsupial. He goes, it wasn't a possum. It was something else. I go, well, what do you mean it was something else? He goes, well, it wasn't a possum. It was like some sort of marsupial thing stuck in his mantelpiece. And he had to dismantle. So in his fireplace.
Dismantle his mantle.
Yeah, he had to dismantle the mantle. But we have a little rat. My wife likes to call it a bush mice. I'm like, it's a rat.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's a bush mice.
Because it's
got cute ears. It's got cute little round ears.
Yeah, you give it a special name because your place is special.
Yeah, and also because we don't have rats.
We don't have rats.
Anyway, sometimes we've got a window out to the side where no one really goes down, and he just sits up there looking into the lounge room. Sort of.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you know that mice can laugh?
They can laugh?
Yep.
Really?
I saw a YouTube video the other day. Maybe we'll have it as think music.
You're not thinking of Mickey Mouse. No.
No, they tickle them, and you can hear them go, maybe it's, I was tricked. But we can look at the video later on to see whether or not.
A bit of trivia. Mm, yes. Fredo Frog was originally going to be a mouse, but it's a Melbourne guy who created Fredo Frog.
Really? He's still around. He's doing fine too, isn't he?
I think he's still around.
Lots of different flavours.
And yes. And his wife said, no one wants to eat a mouse. So they changed to a frog.
What a great bit of advice.
Yeah. The missus got involved, mate. The missus got on it.
Great insight. Because you're going, you want a chucky mouse? You want a chucky frog?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Rats, I occasionally find a dead rat in my compost. And so I think it gets in there and just eats so much and then just expires. Because they're often quite fat, these rats that I find.
Because my mum had them at her place, and they put a little box outside, and they put the rat sack, and they just go into the box, eat the stuff, and then go off and die somewhere.
Yeah,
if they're in the ceiling.
But then you get them smelling. Oh,
if they go off in the ceiling, if they die in the ceiling, that's not good.
Or under the house.
Yeah, rats are very good at mazes, aren't they?
You
always see that on. Yeah. They have to find their way. Wasn't that a famous Who Ate My Cheese? Wasn't that
a famous book?
Was that a maze or what was that? Some people still quote it as being philosophically insightful.
Yeah, it's like a personal development book, isn't it? Who Ate My Cheese?
Yeah, I've read it. Did you read it?
No. No.
I didn't.
Did you get anything out of it?
No.
Did you find out who ate your cheese?
Maybe. What does the cheese represent? It must represent something. Anyway. But they're very good at, they have very good memories. Well, they can laugh, so they've got a sense of humour.
Yeah, right.
So,
okay.
You know.
Maybe. You know. Rats and rats. They get a bad rap, rats, don't they?
They do.
I mean, what is their purpose?
Well, to eat all the...
Eat all the smaller creatures, all the stuff, all the
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, down the food, a bit further down.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I know. But then if I was to bring a pet rat in here, right?
They're kind of cute.
They're kind of cute.
Yeah, they are. They're cute.
And they've got the white, the one with the lighter coats, and they got the, you know, and they're quite, and they've got that little funny nose. And
yeah. And there was that movie Ratatouille with the rats.
Yeah.
Made them cute. But I think it's just the actual name rat. It's a very ugly name, isn't it? Rat.
Mm.
Whereas mouse is much nicer, isn't it? Mouse. Mm. Rat.
Mm.
Rat's like a bogan, isn't it? Rat.
Yeah.
Rat. Come here, rat.
Well, didn't Jeff Stilson do a line about that, about a squirrel? He said it's because he got a...
cute name.
Well, they say that he's only a fluffy tail better than a rat.
Oh, right.
Or something like that. If he didn't have a fluffy tail, he'd be a rat. Yeah, or something
pigeons
like that.
Are rats of the sky, yeah. You know?
Okay,
so, well, so I think we've covered off rats.
Rats.
Tuberculosis.
Get a bad rap. Rats get a bad rap. Tuberculosis.
That gets a bad rap. What is tuberculosis? Something, I know it's
bacterial,
a disease.
Of the lungs, I think.
Oh, it's lungs, isn't it?
Mm, I think I would imagine that you probably drown eventually from the fluid.
Really?
I'm thinking that.
Getting something in your lungs is just a terrible thought,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. I believe that a lot of people...
So it's smoking, isn't it? It sounds like an old-fashioned disease to me.
I think it's flu-like, isn't it? But I think you can get it and not know you've got it.
Oh, really?
And you can get it and have it and not get many symptoms. So it can be in your system, but it doesn't sort of take hold.
So like prostate cancer, people die with it, not of it, often, when they get
older.
Because
men are usually...
It's just there.
Yep, yep.
Tuberculosis.
Yeah.
If your doctor said... tuberculosis. It's up there with hepatitis and stuff, isn't it? You just go, oh no.
So is that TB?
Yeah, I think it is TB because that was big when we were kids, wasn't it?
So did we get an injection for TB?
Yes, we do.
And that was the one that comes up in the big sore on your arm?
Yes, I think it is. I think it was TB. I'm sure it is. And that was when we were at primary school.
And
now
do your kids get TB now?
They must get the vaccination for it. Maybe. Unless it's gone out of...
But it came up in a sore on your arm, and then the sore would eventually go. But you would remember if your kids got TB because maybe it's better now. Maybe it doesn't come up as a sore.
I think the vaccinations are, and often you get three vaccinations at the same time.
Oh, right.
So, I mean, I'm an anti-vacker, so I wouldn't know.
Give us a call.
That's a joke, everyone. My kids are vaccinated.
But
you'd be amazed.
But
many
you're part
you
of
meet.
Town where you live because you're the
inner north of Melbourne.
Yeah, see, I'm by the bay in Brighton,
and they're not. And they're not anti-vaccers around there. But
if there are going to be any anti-vaccers, they're going to be more your way.
In the north. And also, they tend to be wealthier areas. It's interesting. Why would you not vaccinate? Oh, there's a mum at school, and she just said to me, oh, I don't vaccinate my children. And she's like a medical professional. She's a qualified medical person. Like, why would you not vaccinate your children?
Mm. Yeah, if there's something you can get that, I mean, I don't want to be dumb about it, but yeah.
Just got to go through a hospital and hear a baby with whooping cough and just go, I'm going to vaccinate my kids.
But there is their argument is there is a chance that something could happen.
No, there was this debunk thing with autism, right? So there was a doctor in England who had this theory. You put out a paper and then all these people read it and believed it. And now he's been debunked. He's been discredited. It's not true. There's no connection at all.
So it's right.
But
so
people like, and there's Hollywood people that do it too.
It got traction, basically.
There's a few anti-vaxxers in Hollywood, like Alicia Silverstone from Clueless, the woman who was in Clueless. She's an anti-vaxxer. Oh, that's terrible. Why would you not? And if now, you've seen there's been a measles outbreak in America?
And then amongst Melbourne, there's been a bit of measles as well.
Yeah, yeah. But the one in America was amongst Orthodox Jews because some of them don't vaccinate. So it is often religious people that don't vaccinate too.
Mm.
Oh, we could go down a whole path. Thank God we don't have talkback radio.
Tuberculosis. I don't know what else we can really say about it.
I'm pretty sure. I wonder if my granddad had that. He used to smoke and drink a lot and coughed a lot. He probably had.
That doesn't mean you're going to get TB, though.
Oh, doesn't it?
I think it's an airborne thing. I think it's like...
Oh, it's like a virus.
Yeah, I think it's a...
But sure, you've got to be susceptible to it. So if you're old and...
Oh, so I suppose if you were a smoker and you got tuberculosis, you'd be up shit. Yeah.
It just seemed to be bigger when we were kids, didn't it? Like a lot of older people had it, and we had to raise money for TB. That legacy, we had to raise money. And also, remember leprosy? Remember leprosy got a good run at school, didn't it? And it was one of those things like, and then he knew he had leprosy when he put his hand under the tap and couldn't feel it. Oh, Mum, I don't want to get leprosy.
Yeah.
And then we saw films like Papillon. Remember Papillon?
Yeah, there was leprosy in that, wasn't there?
There was a leprosy colony. And all these people are disfigured. And it's like, oh, my God, it's so hideous. But that must have died off a bit, leprosy. There still are lepers in the world.
That's where bits of you drop off.
Yeah, remember there was all those leprosy jokes.
Oh, yeah.
No, we don't want to.
You can't. It's a visual joke, isn't it?
Oh, that, something about leaving a tip. I just remember that. Something horrific. The leper left a tip.
I think something about giving someone the finger and your finger flew off or something. Yeah. Going like that.
Leprosy was big. Tuberculosis was big when we were kids.
Yep.
And now these days, things like meningitis, that was not known when we were kids.
Yeah. Yeah,
isn't it funny how diseases have different... Yeah. And we've talked about it before, but gout. My dad got gout.
Mm.
And what was the other one? Scurvy.
Scurvy, because a local comedian got scurvy,
Chris Franklin, we've talked about him before. He got scurvy, which is very much a Captain Cook era disease. Mm. Lack of vitamin C.
Lack of vitamin C. You just suck on a lemon and you're almost over it.
And now, you know, it's all about autism, Asperger's, ADHD, all those conditions, which aren't diseases, but they're more conditions. They get a big run, don't they?
Yeah.
Tuberculosis is really... Whoever's doing the marketing for tuberculosis has got to pick up their fucking game because they are really dropped off.
Maybe, yeah.
Imagine that guy sitting there at his desk. Oh, we just can't get a run anymore. No one's interested in tuberculosis. It's all bloody... This bloody... Oh.
Yeah, maybe they could... We could...
Because, you know, they're vaccinating for more and more stuff now. The kids get vaccinated for stuff that we didn't get vaccinated.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's more and more stuff they get vaccinated against. Like chicken flu and stuff like that. I don't know if that's one of them. But, you know, you're more recent.
The bird flu was a bit...
Yeah, remember bird flu? Yeah. Remember mad cow?
Yeah. Mad cow.
Mad cow?
Yeah. That's come and gone though, isn't it?
Yeah, but what a catchy name. You know what I mean? That put tuberculosis in the shade with their name, mad cow.
I've always wondered how they named
even bird flu. Bird flu is a good one too.
Because, you know, like, it's not much of a name, is it? Bird flu.
Yeah.
Whereas tuberculosis, you go, meningitis.
Are they sometimes named after people? Yeah, Sam, where did the name tuberculosis come from? That's a very good question.
Mr. and Mrs. Tuberculosis. And the husband
and wife. Sweetheart, good news, I've got a disease named after me.
Yeah, that's right. That's that joke, isn't it? Bad news is you're going to die. The good news is you're going to have a disease named after you. We've done that joke on this
podcast. That's the beauty, though.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that joke.
The name tuberculosis was given to the disease in the late 1800s after the bacterium that causes the disease, Mycobacterium tuberculosis. There's not much more information that I can find on the name, but it's been called by plenty of different names in many different cultures. It's thought to have been around for over 3 million years.
Wow, it's been around forever.
Yeah, so the guy, Mr. Tuberculosis, you know, he just gave it a name.
Yeah, he just chose. He just made
what was the plague? Was the plague the plague? What was the plague?
Oh,
sorry. Because Sam. I'm just wondering whether the plague was tuberculosis.
What?
Because it's flu-like.
What disease was the plague?
Because, you know.
Was that knocked out? That knocked out?
Because if in that era, you know, the rats.
You're seeing a connection.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe not. I mean, it's fairly obvious to say that tuberculosis comes from rats, but I don't think that is the case because it's airborne. I don't think it's I don't think you get it from hanging around dirty mice. Dirty rats.
The plague or Black Death is different to tuberculosis but is carried by rats. It swept through Europe in the mid-1300s, killing between 75 and 200 million people.
Wow. So it's the rats are spreading the plague, but not tuberculosis. Again, imagine the marketing guy for tuberculosis when the plague turns up. He's like, oh, here we go again. We've been outdone by these people.
Stealing my thunder. Got to come up with a different angle.
Yeah. The plague killed like 30% of London and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible.
Incredible.
I know this from reading children's books about it with the kids.
I think when I went to Edinburgh, I went to the underground city there, and I think that's why they went underground, because of the plague.
The plague. Plague was bad.
So in other words, you were on top. If you're up on top, susceptible. Downstairs, maybe not so.
Well, let's have some thinking music. I think we've done enough.
I heard this the other day. Why was I looking up laughter? I don't know. But it was it's on YouTube. You can look at it yourself, but it's a rat laughing.
Oh, let's have a listen.
Special microphones captured the squeaks so they could be replayed in a lower register. Belly and back tickles elicited giggles galore. tail tickles, not so much. The rats will chase a researcher's hand for more.
Wow.
There
you cute.
Go. So if I mean, you've done a lot of gigs in your time, but I don't think you've ever worked with rats.
Never made rats laugh. okay, so a connection.
You got your rats, you got your tuberculosis.
I'm just going to go with your suggestions. I can't think of anything else. I think rats spread tuberculosis. Because we learned that about the plague.
Yeah. I'm going to say that rats, when they gave them tuberculosis, they survived. And that's how they came up with the vaccine that we got, that we still probably get.
Sure. Oh, should we get the answer?
Yes.
What is the answer, Sam?
The African giant pouched rat can be trained to sniff out tuberculosis more accurately than most lab tests. There's a long read about it from The Guardian. I've added a link to the episode notes, and you'll also be able to get the link to the article in the somehow related Facebook group.
Wow. There you go.
Well, they're like a sniffer dog, are they? They can actually...
Dogs can sniff incredible
cancer,
things.
Cancer, can't they?
Yeah, they can.
Apparently.
So, how would they?
Rats.
How do they know that the rats can smell it?
Yeah, that's a good point. How do they work that out?
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
They must. I mean, do they have rats in hospital? So they're going to take it around to the patients and go,
"It's a tuberculosis rat." And
do you want the blood test or do you want the rat test? We got either. What do you want here? Oh, I think I'll have the blood test. I don't need ratty.
Maybe they found out by mistake. Maybe they had some rats at the hospital and just happened to go over to the guy with tuberculosis and, you know, woke up with a rat on his chest.
Yeah, sniff, sniff.
Do you ever see that movie where they do the thing? Oh, it's horrible.
Oh, yeah, the torture thing.
They put the cage on the guy's stomach.
What movie is that?
And the rats have to eat their way out of so they eat into the... Oh, it's horrible. Horrible. What a terrible thought to put in your heads. I'm sorry about that.
Rats. Rats sniffing out tuberculosis. Yep. Why never?
Well, you know, they do a lot of stuff with mice, and you know, and they do a lot of stuff with rats, so good on them.
Yeah, they're good for something,
you,
huh?
You think of all the animals that have done great things for humans... I would say that rats and mice are right up there.
Yeah, I think of them differently now.
Yeah, but more respect.
Yeah.
So as they run along the fence and you know, give you a weird...
What if
weird
he looks over and goes, you're like, oh, no. Oh, no, hang on a minute.
Hang on a second.
Maybe that's why the one's been hanging outside our window. I've got tuberculosis.
Yeah.
Sniff, sniff, sniff.
Yeah.
Interested in new books? Subscribe to Chapter One. Chapter One is a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Each episode, you'll hear the first chapter of a new release book from top publishers. Subscribe and listen to Chapter One, a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Search for Chapter One where you're listening now.